administration, a lot of critics were saying this was not possible. Then the next move, Jerusalem, was said to cause an explosion of the Arab Street, the Paris event. Yet those things didn't.
Okay. Ooh. Hey, everyone at home. Feel free to come closer, you four.
It's okay.
Okay. So I'm going to try to be clever tonight. We're going to see how this works. I've been using my phone to see who's on Zoom. That seems to help. And I know that's Richard. Pretty sure that's Carol and Larry. I recognize that number. That's all I got. There's iPhone. That must be Randy. Hey, Randy, how you doing? Brad and Karen, Francie, Terry, Rosie.
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Pretty good. There's Linda, Jerry, Bonnie. So John must be there too. There's Deb. Yep, there's John, Russ, Gene. There you go. And then Polly, because John's here. And Bill. And then I know that's Richard. Oh, there's Rachel. And Don. That's Richard. That's Larry and Carol. I don't know the other ones. Okay. What's his face? Zach will fix that. So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 in the building. So, zoom out numbers. Oh, well, one of those nights. And this is probably one of the reasons we talked about probably keeping Zoom when all this is over, because of days like this. So, tonight, we are getting into the sacrifices. Come here, you. There we go. Tonight, we're getting into the sacrifices. And as of right now, with my thing, I'm pretty sure... Yeah, as of right now, we'll be doing sacrifices tonight, Sunday, and next Wednesday. But just based on what I see for next Wednesday, we probably have to go into next Sunday too. So we have 3 to 4 lessons of sacrifices. And that's without getting into the minutiae and detail of the actual, cut this up, here's how you use this for that. And like, that's just the eternal stuff that actually applies to us. So this is a big topic. And we're going to look into it as eternally as we can and see what's going on with us. So let's see. Who's at home? Hey, Randy, since you're unmuted already, you figured that out. Would you mind saying a prayer for us?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we're indeed thankful for the many blessings you've given us. We're just thankful that we can study your word again. We just pray that you'd be with us and help us to have attentive hearts and minds and be open to your will. And as it's presented, thankful for Daniel and those who are in this study with us. We just pray that you continue to watch over us and pray that you'd be with those on the roads of travel at this time with the slippery roads and watch over them. We ask a special prayer. You'd be with those in need of our prayers. You'd be with Lorna's father as he's in the hospital, and help him to get well. And be with Dama and be with all those who are sick and afflicted this time. Just pray that you continue to be with our country, our nation, our world. And it be thy will that you remove this COVID quickly from us and help us to realize that you are in control of all things and help us to truly submit to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so the sections for this study are chapters 1 through 7, chapter 17, chapter 22, 17 to 33, chapter 24, 1 through 9, and chapter 27. There's Rhonda on now. Hey, Rhonda. And there's, I mean, honestly, most of what we're going to look at is in chapters 1 through 7. And really, even of that most of it is in just chapter 1. But we have all the sections to give us a full picture because they are all related. They do have, there is some relevance to those later chapters and verses. Especially as we get into, can't remember the name, the different types of sacrifices. So we're going to talk about that probably on Sunday. So for tonight, how we want to start, and I'm going to try something new. I know that I got control up here, so I'm gonna give it a try. I'm going to try to have the whiteboard here. Whoops, go back up. I'm going to try to have the whiteboard. Oh, I need to get out of the PowerPoint, that's why. There we go. All right. So everyone at home can see that, right? You all can see that here too, but I know it's a little goofy here. Just go with me. Trying something to be clever. There, see, make that a little bigger. All right. I'm going to make that even tinier. There, we'll see that. So, we want to start off with the purpose of sacrifices. And I'm going to use this as kind of a whiteboard. So, when we talk about what are the purposes, I'm going to try to write, type those things on there. So I've got my list. I know the material didn't really have this idea in it to study, but that's okay because sacrifices have always had specific purposes, and I'm sure many of you have thought about it before. So, remember you at home on Zoom, there's only 8 of us here. So we really need you tonight. So, what are some purposes of sacrifice?
I would say fulfill God's commandment.
Okay. To obey a command. Good. Because God said so, number one. Good. What else?
To say basically you're sorry, to repent of your sins.
For sin, right? And when we say sacrifice for sin, she already mentioned repentance. Is the sacrifice about repentance, or is the sacrifice about something that we hope is accomplished from repentance and the sacrifice?
It's from what we hope, basically, but it's basically mandatory atonement for specific unintentional, I'm talking about the sin offering, specific unintentional sins, confession of sin, forgiveness, cleansing from defilement sort of thing.
Good, cleansing, and what else do we call atonement or cleansing? Another word for that. Starts with F.
Forgiveness.
There you go. Forgiveness. In fact, that's even brought out in several of the passages in Leviticus, in the early chapters, that the priest will make atonement and the person who brought the offering will be forgiven. He uses that language. Since this is brought up, what does atonement really mean?
Covering.
Mike says covering.
Covering over.
To cover. That's actually what the Hebrew and Greek words mean. We have this fancy English word for atone or atonement that if you look in a dictionary, in fact, someone at home, get on your computer or whatever real quick, or maybe one of you here, and look at the English word atonement. And when you get it, let me know, because I think it's important that we see how English in the United States and England, how we look at atonement versus what the Bible words are used. And I should have.
I've got it.
Okay, go ahead. Who's that?
So outside of religious context, it's reparation for a wrong or injury. Reparation is like basically you have... It's basically, how do I say this? It's like a consequence or like a fine that you did something, so this is what you owe. Like, it's been like not really like a settlement, but Like you have to do something for it.
Yeah. Now, if anyone at home has the ability to look up what the actual Hebrew word is, let's see, where's the? I think it's chapter 1, verse 4 was the first time it was used. And you'll see a definition kind of like that. Expiate? There's several kind of fancy ideas of forgiveness and whatever that X word is. But then the real basic definition is to cover. And a similar, this is the verb that we're looking at here. The noun is used to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, the lid, the mercy seat, we call it. The lid that covers the lid of the ark. In fact, this word, this verb, is used in Genesis 6 when God tells Noah to cover the ark with pitch inside and out. But in almost every other place in the Old Testament, in our English Bibles, it's not cover, it's atonement or make atonement. And then it's also appease. It's also sometimes even forgive. And there's a few other words too, but go ahead.
The word has the idea of a physical action that needed to be taken to cover over a sin.
Right.
So it's an Old Testament physical concept of a New Testament spiritual concept, of course, accomplished by Jesus. So the connection between the two that we have to understand is that the priests were in the position through their sacrifice, their actions of sacrificing these animals, to take a physical action for another person or the person themselves to cover up a sin.
Right. One of the ideas that I thought about today, for whatever reason, was, you know, in the old movies, people they have dirt floors, or the wood floors, they'll sweep, and they have this big rug, and they'll pick up the rug and sweep stuff under the rug. That's kind of. I don't want to say that's the idea, but that's what I thought of today, was covering the dirt with the rug to hide it. But that's not really forgiveness, is it? Because forgiveness is, it's gone. It's not held to account. It's not just, okay, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, it's off here. It's gone. The dirt's been taken out, it's been burned, and whatever. And I'm trying to find, in Leviticus 16, I think it was 16, I didn't think to write it down. I just saw it as I was in passing. I thought, oh, that was neat. There's a place in Leviticus 16, I think it is, where the priest takes the blood and puts it on the ark and other things. And it says, oh, there it is, verse 18, Leviticus 16. He shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. So if we translate that to cover, he shall go up the altar that is before the Lord and cover it, and take some of the blood of the bull and of the blood of the goat and put it on the horn of the altar on the side. So the covering is the taking the blood and putting it on the altar on the side and whatever. And someone remember what the Hebrew writer said about blood? That without blood, or there's no forgiveness. And also, one may almost say, that's how it goes, one may almost say that without blood, there is no forgiveness or cleansing or something like that. So, good. So that's, and for me, there are certain words, it's like, why do we have these fancy English words for this simple idea in the Greek and Hebrew? Atonement for covering. Mercy seat for covering. Propitiation for I forget what propitiation is, and I think it might be also covering, but these fancy words for these things. All right, so there's two purposes of sacrifice. Let's name some more. There's a few more. What else?
To express thankfulness.
Thankfulness, good. God even had requirements for Thanksgiving offerings. If you're going to offer an offering of thanks, here's what you do. And We'll stop there. And we know this in the New Testament, right? We offer thanks for food. We offer thanks for being healed, for weather, for all kinds of things. And Thankfulness is something we're told in Colossians and Ephesians and in many places that we're almost supposed to have a character, like it's something that we just are. We're just thankful. We're thankful people. Like, how could we not give thanks to that? Because we're just in general thankful. When I was younger, I always heard guys give lessons on the attitude of gratitude. It's just part of your nature to be thankful. All right, what's some more?
Unintentional sin.
What is that?
Unintentional sin.
Unintentional sin. Good. Unintentional sin. Good. Now that's the same thing as number two, but God has this whole chapter four. I think it's chapter four, and a good chunk of chapter five and six. That is just for if someone commits a sin without meaning to commit sin. God has a thing for that. In fact, where's my? I have a whole deal there. Oh, it's my handwritten notes. I don't want to go looking for it. That's okay. Good. So, what's the next one?
Fellowship offering.
Fellowship offering. Whoops. And what would be a fellowship offering? Well, I don't have the NIV, so I don't have that terminology anywhere. Where is that found?
Well, it's in the third chapter. The whole chapter talks about fellowship offering.
Oh.
Peace offering.
Peace offering. Good. I didn't know that other Bibles used other, so it's peace. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So if we take the idea of a peace offering or a fellowship offering, what's a peace offering or fellowship offering for?
How about covenants?
Hold on. What, real quick, we got to finish this peace offering thing real quick.
Oh, I got.
But keep hold of that. What's the peace offering or fellowship offering for?
Well, when I think of the New Testament, we have fellowship or sharing.
Uh-huh.
And peace, I guess there's a whole bunch of different things that could be, but absence of quarreling or absence of getting along togetherness.
Can you have peace and not be in fellowship?
You have to have both.
Yeah. You can have fellowship and be enemies, but generally speaking, fellowship is a sharing, a joint participation in something. You have to have peace for that, right? And not just the absence of conflict, like true biblical peace is unity. It's joint participation, joint sharing. Like ideally, and when we sit down to eat, we give thanks for what we eat, and we're in fellowship with the meal, but there's ideally we're all unified in the sharing of the food. Not, okay, let's just get to the meal and not have any fighting. Like that's not what you want, right? You want peace. So with the idea of peace or fellowship offerings, why would an Israelite offer a peace offering to a God they're at peace with?
Say that again.
Why would the Israelites offer a peace or fellowship offering to God who they are already at peace or in fellowship with?
My understanding is there's multiple types of peace offerings.
Yes.
So there's the kind that is a lot of times peace offerings are defined as this idea of pacifying or placating. That's not the idea. The idea is more about, like Patty was saying, that about our fellowship, about the relationship, about thankfulness to God.
Yeah.
And it's in that category, as opposed to it's something that we're doing to create peace between us.
Right.
More of a reflection of the peace than it is a seeking of the peace.
Right. The sin offering is what brings the peace.
Right.
The peace offering is a good word, reflection of or a sign or a symbol of the peace that you already have. Good. And so with that in mind, most Bibles will say, at least the ones I know, say peace offerings. So the fact that she used hers as fellowship offering, this kind of gives away the gap. Do we have peace offerings in the kingdom? Remember, we got to think eternally about these things. These are just shadows. There's a reality for us. And the fact that hers has fellowship offering, that should kind of give it away.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of if we have anything against our brother or something, we need to clear that up before we bring our gift to the altar.
Okay. That's true. But these are offerings we bring to God. The peace offering or the fellowship offering. Remember, this is a sign of our existing peace and fellowship.
Free will
offerings, yes, absolutely. But there's something we do regularly.
Pray.
Yes. What else?
Gather.
We assemble, yes. And what do we do when we assemble?
Worship.
We worship, and what do we do as worship?
Sing songs of praise.
We share the Lord's Supper, our fellowship meal. All those things are true. All those things are true. But it's all, what's the word? Summarized or epitomized in the Lord's Supper. Because Jesus said he eats and drinks with us. And one of the things that we're going to get into, is that tonight? I think it's maybe tonight, it's later. That the offering, when people would bring offerings, there'd be a portion for themselves, there'd be a portion for the priest, and there was a portion for God. And they were all in fellowship. They were all sharing in these offerings, all of them, but especially the peace offering. These were all signs or reflections of their peace or fellowship, all of them together. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, every time you mention having to think eternally, I find that the dramatic connection between all of this in New Testament is found in the book of Hebrews. And so I don't know how far you want to go on that, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 is a really strong tie. It says, therefore...
Hold on. Everyone turn there, because that was on my list to go through, but it's a good time to do it. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16.
So the context here is the writer's kind of tying up a lot of things after this long and, you know, detailed theological book. And it gets to the point at the end where it's talking about the various suggestions that the writer's having. But in verse 15 it says, therefore by him, this is after he talked about all these sacrifices, about blood, about what it does, its importance. This idea in verse 13 about taking the sacrifices outside the camp. And us going outside the camp, there's a direct connection here. But verse 15 says, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. I just find that to be a direct connection to the eternal points that I think we're seeing in Leviticus that are being made spiritually in Hebrews.
Absolutely. And since we're there, we can... a related idea to this is the free will offering that Bob got. And why does someone do a free will offering?
There were two categories, right? There's the voluntary sacrifices and then the mandatory ones. Some are voluntary, right?
Yeah. And so why do you offer sacrifice? Why go through all that?
Devotion.
Just because you want to. Just, you know what? I want to go offer something to God today. Just because. And that's what this verse is talking about. Through him, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. For no other reason than just to say, Lord, you are honored, you are glorified, whatever, just because, not because we have to, have to because we're here, right? But ideally, We're doing it not because we have to, right? That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. God loves a
cheerful giver.
Not under compulsion, not under because you have to. I just want it. I want to go pick out my favorite, best lamb, and I want to go take it, and I want to offer it to God. Just because. I got all this extra crops. God, you know what? I'm going to take this and just go get it. Just because. That's all a part of that.
And if you're not wealthy, and all you can afford is grain, it's just as, you know, it's just as perfect in God's eyes. It's not about. And that's the same thing in our own contributions in that way. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart.
Yeah, the widow that Jesus saw, she gave out of her lack. Exactly. All right. So what other? Real quick about going back to thankfulness. Number 3. Thankfulness. Not only is it just saying thank you, it's recognizing where the source of this blessing came from in the first place. Praise does that. The free will offering is part of what that is. I know this came from you, and I'm going to give it back to you because you're the source of it anyway. All right, so what other purposes do the sacrifices have?
The covenants.
Covenant, yeah, that's a big one. In chapter, 7 and 8? No, 8 and 9. Sorry, can't type and talk at the same time. The priests, their consecration as priests required the sacrifices. It's not in Leviticus, but it is in Exodus 24. When they offer sacrifices to sprinkle blood on the book of the law and on the people. And the sacrifices, a lot of times, and we go back to Genesis 15, for you who remember Genesis 15 in the Genesis class, Abraham took a bull and a ram and a goat and some birds and divided them in half, and that was a part of making covenant. That's a good one. All right, what else?
That points the way to Jesus.
Say again?
Points the way to Jesus.
Okay. Shadows. And how many of these sacrifices are actually Jesus? We got obey. We got sin offering, thankfulness, unintentional sin. We got all those. How many of those are Jesus?
I would say all of them.
Yeah, every one of them. He did it because why? God told him to. That's what the whole prayer in the garden was. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, your will be done. He died. The death was for cleansing of sin. Let's see. I'm sure there's thankfulness in his sacrifice. It was to recover even unintentional sin. Romans 5 talks about how Jesus brought peace. Ephesians 2, 14 and 15 also talk about Jesus coming to bring peace. Fellowship offering, peace offering. Jesus did it freely of his own will. I think there's even a verse that says that. His blood of the covenant. He even took the Lord's Supper, right? This is my blood, which is the sign of covenant. So good. All right. What else?
How about remembrance, as in the case of the Passover sacrifices?
Yeah, my Bible calls them memorial offerings. Now, for us, the remembrance memorial offerings are to remember or memorialize what?
The crucifixion.
Right. But guess what? Let's see, where is that? The memorial portion, that's actually in Leviticus is actually a reminder to God to remember the person who is offering. If that sounds weird, think about Cornelius. Let's go to Acts 10. Acts 10, someone read verse 4.
And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God."
These offerings are part of what show us that Cornelius was a righteous man. The book of Acts tells us he was, the first couple verses, he was a righteous man, devout man. But those offerings also displayed themselves to God that he was devout, that he was righteous, that he was trying to be righteous to God. And this is not, these are not the first times he's come out. In Genesis, that shouldn't be 6 or 5, but Genesis 8, oh, that's not Genesis 6, it's Exodus. Genesis 8, Noah's been in the ark for some time. Genesis 8, verse 1, so I'm going to read that.
Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind pass over the earth when the water subsided.
Now, do we really think God forgot about Noah? Like, he just destroyed the whole world, went through all this rigmarole to get Noah to build the boat, waited for Noah to build the boat, waited for the animals to get on the boat, sealed the door himself, and then brought the flood. Do we really think that God forgot about Noah? Memorial. I can't just let this go. It's kind of like, almost like, how can I say this without sounding blasphemous? It's kind of like God's finishing what he started. Like there's a plan in place, and like, okay, now it's time. Now I've got to go deal with this guy or these people. And what the memorial offerings, and in fact, I actually think one of the least known about sacrifices in the Old Testament is the wave offering. It was primarily done on Pentecost. They took bread and just did this, and then they gave it to the priest. And the best I've ever been able to figure out or heard from anybody what that was for, and I've found almost nothing about what this was about, but the very little bit I have gotten is it's an attention giver. Hey, look over here. That's what the memorial offerings are for. And that's kind of what we're seeing with Genesis 8 is God remembering the promises to Noah. We also see it in Exodus 2 when God heard the groanings of the people and remembered them and the covenant he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's actually a bunch of places in the Old Testament where it says God remembered either somebody specifically or remembered a promise that he made or a covenant. It was really kind of neat, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, but just to bring it up. So what else? I've got still a few others that on my list that haven't gotten here yet.
Trespass.
What?
Trespass offering.
Can you understand?
Trespass
offering? Are you saying trespass offering?
Yes.
That's kind of like the sin offering. Trespass, sin. That's kind of the same thing.
How about grain?
Grain offerings? Okay. Grain offerings. Let's think about that, because that actually leads to one that hasn't come up yet. What's the purpose of the grain offering? There's no blood in grain. Why?
Well, could be twofold. One, for people that can't afford a lamb or a dove or something like that, they can give grain. And the other is for their crops.
For crops?
It's a grace offering.
A grace offering, a thank offering. It's commanded, number one. But Bill said the first one. For somebody who doesn't have it for themselves. And God set up the law of Moses so that some would not have for themselves.
Because it's not about that.
Huh?
Because it's not about that.
Because what's not about
wealth? It's not about, you know, wealth or access to things. I mean, it's not going to be limited by what you do or don't have access to.
Right. So that's charity in general. But there was a specific purpose that all offerings were for someone else.
To feed the priests?
To feed the priests. To provide for the priests. How did I write that down? Yeah, that's how I wrote it down.
Because they were Levites, and Levites didn't have their own land.
Right. Now, I'm the grain offerings, I think, are also shadows of our weekly collection, but also the Lord's Supper. But people have never just eaten meat. They've always eaten grain. And the priest needed that stuff too. So one of the purposes for the grain offerings was so the priests get theirs. So they have food. But not just the grain offerings, all the animal offerings. There were drink offerings. There was the burnt offerings. All of them. The priest got a portion of almost every sacrifice. And not just that. Where is that? I didn't transpose some of these notes. Chapter 24. That's what I want to look at. Leviticus 24, verses 5 through 9. No, no, that's not the one I wanted. Maybe it's chapter 7. We might be doing sacrifices for a couple of these. Chapter 7, 31 to 36 of chapter 7. You want to read that, please?
What's the verse again?
31 to 36 of chapter 7.
Okay, I'll read it. The priest shall offer up the fat and smoke on the altar, but the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. You shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifices of your peace offering. The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat, the right thigh shall be his as his portion. For I have given the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel for the sacrifices of their peace offering, and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel.
That's actually good. Verse 33. Did you catch what it said? The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood? Most of these sacrifices, like a guy would bring his offering, and then where there was grain or meat or both, they wouldn't take it and put it in a collective treasure. They would bring their offering, and then the specific priest who helped him with his offering, that's his portion. It was his. And he would take it and go feed himself and his family. Then the next guy, I don't know how they'd actually do it, but I imagine, the next priest in line, he would go to the next guy. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why these offerings are offered all the time, is because there's a lot of priests doing all this work. So, think about that from eternal perspective, kingdom perspective. Man brings his offering, and each individual priest works for his food and goes and provides for us. Is there an eternal application to that? I'm not talking about anything government-wise, but for us in the kingdom. What's the point?
Share and take care of each other.
Absolutely. But then there's the one who actually, who's doing all the work? Like the guy bringing the offering, he does some. He puts his hand on the offering and whatever else, but who's doing most of the work? The priest. If a priest doesn't go help with the offerings, does he eat? No. Man doesn't work, he just shall eat. right? Making sure that you're busy in the kingdom, doing the work of the Lord, doing your share, doing your part in the work. Ephesians 4, how does it put that? Each part doing its share for the growth of the body. Something like that. Yeah, building up itself in love. And if some priests don't do their part, what happens to the guys who are doing their part? Do they get overworked or underworked?
Overworked.
Because these guys are being lazy. So everyone needs to be participating in it. Every Israelite, somehow, some way, was to be part of this. We are quickly running out of time. Does anyone have any other purposes of sacrifices?
Is offering of the restitution, is that one?
What was that first part? I got the restitution part.
Offering with restitution.
Restitution. Where's that?
That's when the Lord spoke to Moses. If a person commit a trespass, it's in chapter 5:14.
Oh, time's up. He shall add a fifth part of it and give it to the priest. Priest shall make atonement for him. Oh, good one. Oh, restitution. All right, we're done with this. Good one, Linda. So we're done with that. There's probably a few more, but thank you, Zach. Good job. We'll pick up on Sunday. We're going to study on Sunday is God's attitudes toward sacrifices. So try to remember the purpose of the sacrifices and be looking for God's attitude toward sacrifice in general. And that's what we're going to study on Sunday, as well as hopefully get into the different types of sacrifices that we have, or that they have. Thanks for participating so much at home tonight, everybody. Do that more often.